You are Locked On Rams, your daily Los Angeles Rams podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Rams Nation, what is going on? It is your boy, Sosa Cremenges. I am a fantasy analyst at Pro Football Focus and your host of the Locked On Rams podcast, your number one daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Rams. Today's episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. Amazing selections, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. Welcome to your Thursday episode of the Locked On Rams pod. This is our second to last episode of this week. A whole another week down here at the Locked On Rams pod. We're going to keep trudging along here throughout the offseason as we work closer towards the NFL draft. And we're going to break down today's episode in three segments like we always do. And it is Thursday, so you know that means there is an update to our big board Thursday. We're also going to talk about a few more visits that the Los Angeles Rams have had with their pre-draft prospects over Zoom. There have been a handful of names that have been displayed to me here. And then we're going to also break down something I found interesting in terms of their visits, what I think we may be able to extrapolate out of them when it comes to potentially the wide receiver position. But we're going to dive into that stuff later. First, we're going to talk about who the Rams have interviewed recently. And a lot of these names have come at different times. I'm not exactly sure which days and at which points the Rams have had scheduled meetings and pre-draft Zoom meetings with these prospects, but I'm going to give you guys a quick update and breaking down in order. The first one that I heard was cornerback Asante Samuel Jr., and this is the second time that the Rams have met with Asante Samuel Jr. That is obviously a very interesting thing. The Rams are not going to meet with somebody twice unless they have legitimate interest in potentially drafting that player, and most people probably don't expect the Rams to go cornerback early, specifically at that number 57 overall pick. And I think Samuel is likely going to go somewhere in that range. I've seen mocks have him anywhere between the late round one projection to somewhere in that second round. Now, he may not even make it to 57, and the Rams may not even have an opportunity to grab a guy like that. But if he is available at 57, with the Rams having interviewed him twice, he's probably a very good bet to at least be somewhere high up on their board. And when you look at the loss of a guy like Troy Hill, now an open spot in that nickel cornerback position, makes a lot of sense that the Rams are interested in potentially adding another corner there. And Samuel, obviously we've talked about him before. His dad used to play in the NFL, borderline Hall of Famer, might still get inducted any year now into the Hall of Fame. Obviously was a multiple time Pro Bowler. Samuel has similar game to his dad, very good ball skills. I think he projects very well into the slot, the nickel spot at the next level. And obviously that would be a very good addition for the Rams when it comes to their cornerback room. They already have one of the best in the NFL, arguably the best duo in Jalen Ramsey and Darius Williams. So adding another high-end pick to that room, I think would really service them well. Now moving on to the wide receiver position, we have three more names to add here. In addition to the one that my boy Brad brought up on yesterday's podcast, he talked about the Rams meeting with Anthony Schwartz, the wide receiver out of Auburn, a speedster who still needs to learn how to actually play the game. That was the one that he mentioned, and I think I mentioned that earlier this week as well, but the Rams met with Schwartz, and then the three new names here, Tutu Atwell of Louisville, and Des Fitzpatrick, also of Louisville, teammates at Louisville, obviously. That one is from my guy Stephen Hagland on Twitter, and also from Stephen as well. He found out that the Rams did also meet with Sage Surratt, the wide receiver out of Wake Forest. And if you recall the name Surratt, if it sounds familiar, it's because his brother Chaz is an inside linebacker at UNC. Both guys went to the Senior Bowl. And you've probably seen Surratt, his brother, the linebacker, mock to the Rams a couple of times. I know I've seen a few different mocks with him scheduled to be picked by the Rams. Sage is a different one there. A bigger wide receiver. I think he's around 6'2", 6'3". Pretty damn slow. We're going to just be honest here. I think he runs somewhere in the 4.6s, 4.7s. But he's a big contested catch, big bodied style of wide receiver. He's going to win a lot of contested catches. He's going to do a lot of that physical stuff. When you look at his film, you look at his production back in 2019. He did not play in 2020. 2019 had 1,001 receiving yards and 11 touchdowns, which is obviously pretty impressive. And when you look at the PFF draft guide here, my guy Mike Renner has his player comparison listed as a late career Dez Bryant. Now, that is obviously not the best thing, but at the end of the day, I'm kind of fascinated as to why the Rams are meeting with Surratt. I'm not sure if, you know, they view him as simply a red zone potential kind of a guy that's going to win some jump balls and give you, you know, the opportunity to go fight for some contested catches in the red zone. I don't know if they're projecting him as a boundary receiver at the next level or as a slot guy, which I think a lot of people expect him to be, one of those oversized big slot guys, similar to like a Marcus Colston, if you guys recall, way back in the day for the New Orleans Saints, or, you know, even someone like a Larry Fitzgerald for the Arizona Cardinals, who is a bigger non-traditional type of slot receiver. Now, talking about the duo from Louisville, I'm very intrigued by these two. Now, Des Fitzpatrick is a bit more traditional in terms of his size, 6'2", 210 at least. That's what he was listed at Louisville. Never really been all too productive. Been ranging somewhere between 600 to 800 yards receiving and about 3 to 6 or 9 touchdowns every single season there. I think he has some game to him. I think he's more of your prototypical style of receiver. Probably going to go somewhere on day 3, maybe in rounds 4, 5, maybe even 6. And if I do recall correctly, he also went to the Senior Bowl. And the last name that I think is the most intriguing is his teammate, Tutu Atwell. He had a major season in 2019, 1,276 receiving yards with 12 touchdowns. Took a step back this past season with only 625 receiving yards for 7 touchdowns, but I think a lot of that had to do with an injury, which I can't recall what it was now, as well as some really, really inconsistent quarterback play. He was open a lot when I watched his tape, and the quarterbacks were just overthrowing him left, right, and center. It was not exactly pretty, and Atwell is a guy that I think fits the mold of what the Rams are trying to do this offseason, which is gain a lot more explosion on the offense, bring in some more big play ability, a guy that has that gadget style versatility. And talking about all of those skill sets, I'm going to dive into something I have picked up from the receiver position for the Rams in the next segment. We're going to talk about the potential philosophy of the Rams when they're targeting this spot in the draft, which I believe we have to look out for. And then after that, we're going to dive into our updated Big Board Thursday. And while we've got you, make sure to come connect with us on Twitter. You can find me at QBsMVP, and you can find the page at Locked On Rams. Folks, are you having any car troubles? Do you ever go outside to find your car tires flat or your car won't even start? Well, you should absolutely check out rockauto.com for your service needs. They're a family-owned business, and they've been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. That is correct, 20 years. We know there is no better time than right now to support family-owned businesses with this strange COVID-related stuff that's obviously going around in our world. If you are a do-it-yourselfer or a professional and you're looking for reliably low prices, you should just go check out Rock Auto. Just go to their website and check out all of their available parts. It's a never-ending list, and if your car needs it, I bet they probably got it. Amazing selections, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com and write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us so they know that we sent you. We've been telling you about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market for a while now. Built Bar is the amazing low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, amazing tasting protein bar with 100% chocolate on all bars. Now's the time to find out which Built Bar is the best with their Built Bar Madness style tournament. And today's matchup is the official championship. It is going to be between the Cookie Dough Chunk and the winner between the Mint Brownie or Coconut Brownie Chunk Bar. And I have yet to see which of those two won. I'm going to assume it's going to be the Coconut Brownie Chunk, but it could be the Mint Brownie by the time you guys go check. So make sure to check which one it actually is. For me, I'm going to have to go with the Coconut Brownie Chunk as the ultimate winner. I think it's got everything you could ask for in a delicious protein bar, including the best texture in the game when it comes to protein bars. And to get that experience, all you guys have to do is just go to BuiltBar.com or to their Twitter at Built_Bar. And remember to use the promo code LOCK15 to get 15% off your next order. That's LOCK15 to get 15% off your next order at BuiltBar.com. And check back to see who won today's matchup and who will become the best tasting protein bar. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get podcasts. Welcome back to the second segment of this Thursday edition of the Locked On Rams podcast. I appreciate you guys for listening and tuning back in here at the Locked On Rams pod. We're going to pick up where we left off before the break. And I mentioned that I want to take a look at the philosophy that the Rams are probably going to have entering the 2021 NFL draft. It's just a few short weeks away at this point. And I think, you know, when we look at some of the interviews that they've had, some of the pre-draft meetings, and sort of just how they've approached the offseason, we can somewhat deduce what they want to do partially in this draft, right? I think, obviously, with losing Austin Blythe, the interior offensive line is going to be one of the areas that the Rams have to focus on. Not necessarily saying that they have to draft a center at number 57 or wherever the case may be, but at some point, they're going to have to grab a center or a guard, someone that can play center, maybe in the second round, maybe in the third, heck, maybe even in the fourth. And ultimately, that guy could either start going into the next season, depending on what the Rams do throughout the rest of the offseason, or they could, at the very worst, battle it out and duke it out for a potential starting spot throughout the course of the offseason and training camp. So that is one thing that I've obviously picked up on the Rams, and it doesn't take a genius to tell you that. Looking at the wide receiver position, I think that's where things start to become a little bit more interesting. Now, the old days, and I'm not really sure how it works this year with the whole COVID stuff, but you used to get 30 pre-draft meetings with prospects, right? So 30 opportunities to meet with guys. They would come to your facility. I'm guessing your doctor would probably check them out, give them all these physicals, see if they pass that test. You could obviously get them up on the whiteboard, look at the playbook, that kind of thing. And so I'm not sure if the NFL has transitioned this season into just pre-draft Zoom meetings and you only get 30 Zoom meetings. I'm assuming that's going to be the case. Otherwise, pretty much every team would meet with everyone, and that's obviously, you know, not going to happen. So I'm assuming it's the same thing, just now Zoom instead of live. And when you look at some of the names that the Rams have brought in, there have been multiple wide receivers, I believe five to this point. So we mentioned Sage Surratt, Anthony Schwartz, Tutu Atwell, and Des Fitzpatrick just a few moments ago. And the one name that we mentioned way back when, I want to say maybe 3 weeks ago at this point, Dwayne Eskridge, the wide receiver out of Western Michigan. So that does bring the total to five. Now, the Rams using five of their potential 30 interviews and pre-draft meetings on wide receivers is pretty interesting. Obviously, that means they're looking at the receiver spot, looking to add a guy at this spot, at this position, and that's not really surprising to me. I expected that to be the case. You know, we talked about the potential additions throughout free agency, guys like DeSean Jackson, who they obviously did end up adding, guys like John Ross, Marvin Hall. Those were three of the names that I continuously brought up here. Marvin Jones was obviously one of the other names that was easily a connection to the Rams with the Matthew Stafford trade, but obviously, he was going to get more money than the Rams had to offer and a better role. So that was never legitimately a realistic opportunity, in my opinion. But looking at these other guys, you've seen DeSean Jackson as well. It's clear that the Rams want to get more explosive. They obviously talked about it. We've mentioned it here many times. Head coach Sean McVay has talked about it many times. That's why they went out and traded a boatload for a guy like Matthew Stafford. You see them pay a decent amount of money for a guy in DeSean Jackson who has played in 8 games over the past 2 years. I mean, at this point, I don't know that you can necessarily rely on him to be healthy, but the Rams still felt the pressure and actually paid him a pretty chunk for a guy who hasn't really played. And not only that, but it clearly tells us that, you know, he's going to have a legitimate role for the Rams this season. That continues the trend of trying to be more explosive on offense. And now, when you look at some of the names that the Rams have met with, Anthony Schwartz in particular, Tutu Atwell, Dwayne Eskridge, 3 out of the 5 names at the receiver spot are absolutely electric style players. Schwartz probably runs a 4-2, to be quite honest with you. Tutu Atwell, if not a 4-2, he's damn close to it. Maybe a very low 4-3. And Dwayne Eskridge, I think he might have ran in the 4-3s as well. Now, some guys, and particularly these three, have return capabilities, can return punts, can return kicks, can break tackles, can create with the ball in their hands. Obviously, the yardage after the catch aspect. But in particular, all guys are very explosive when it comes to the vertical game and taking the top off the defense, specifically those three. So I think when you look at some of the names that they've interviewed just out of these five, 3 out of the 5 are absolutely explosive, dynamite style receivers, probably going to be used in a gadget-like role on special teams as a vertical weapon. And then when you look at the 5 names in totality, I think all 5 players could very well be projected into the slot at the next level. And that's obviously fascinating because the Rams do have Cooper Kupp, who primarily operates out of the slot. They did draft Van Jefferson, who probably is best in the slot, but can definitely play on the outside as well. And that is an interesting dynamic. Where are the Rams planning to play these guys? Are they all projected to be just slot receivers for the Rams, or do they think they can play outside? Because some of these guys are very small, like Atwell and Schwartz, and even Eskridge to some degree. Now, he's much heavier than the other two, but I think a lot of these guys are probably going to make their money at the next level in the slot. That is an interesting dynamic. I think with how many times the Rams have interviewed these guys, it's fair to say that they're obviously looking to continue to add to this wide receiver room. I'm not going to be surprised one bit if the Rams do take a wide receiver at some point in this draft. Heck, maybe even earlier than most of us expect, maybe in the third round, maybe in the fourth round. And ultimately, that would continue to add explosion to the offense, continue to add different skill sets and different dynamics to an offense that did not perform all that well last season and was much worse in 2019. And talking about adding potential prospects to the offense and maybe even the defensive side of the ball, we're going to dive into our final segment after the break. We're going to give you guys our update on our big board for the Los Angeles Rams. And make sure to keep checking back in with us every day here at the Locked On Rams podcast, especially tomorrow because we're going to dive back into our Mailbag Friday episode. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing, and BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Get real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds, and it's also the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. You just got to go head to their website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. That's betonline.ag. Are you ready for the NFL Draft? Join Locked On NFL Draft hosts Trevor Sikkema and Benjamin Solak as they give you their latest positional rankings and analysis on 2021 draft prospects with team-centric guest mocks right around the corner. Follow the Locked On NFL Draft podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. Welcome to the final segment of this Thursday edition of the Locked On Rams podcast. I appreciate you guys for joining me and making it to the end of the episode here. And this is the most important aspect of this episode. It is our update to our big board for the Los Angeles Rams. I mean, the episode is called the Big Board Thursday episode, so this has to be dedicated to the most important aspect here. And I got to watch a handful of names, some of which may be projected to the Rams, some of which may not. So we're going to dive in with the first name, and that is interior offensive lineman Kendrick Green out of Illinois. He was a guard slash center at the college level. I think he probably best projects into a center role in the NFL. He's an effortless mover, a guy who could easily be a strong convert to that center spot. Great at locating second level targets, working out in space and finding these guys. I think he's very good at sealing his lanes for his running backs, uses that good strong torque that he has, the leverage and positioning to win in these regards. I think he's got to have a little bit better balance and lock onto his second level targets a bit more. He slips and falls a bit too much, but at the end of the day, he still gets the job done more than well enough, can work those combo blocks and times his release to the second level very well. Projects to be a perfect fit for a zone blocking scheme. That short and squatty frame allows him to have a nice strong anchor in pass protection. And at the end of the day, this is a guy who looks for work in pass pro. He's always trying to lay a lick on a defender. I love Kendrick Green as a prospect. I think he is the perfect kind of fit for the Rams when it comes to that interior offensive line. Has guard capability, has center capability. He has the versatility to play either. Like I said, I think he's a perfect fit for a zone blocking scheme. Going to transition into the NFL, in my opinion, to a center role. He's a capable puller, can work as a lead blocker. This is a guy that I can absolutely see the Rams loving at the center spot. And ultimately, I would not be the least bit shocked if Kendrick Green does become a prospect that the Rams really like in that third round range. Maybe the late second if they do end up trading back and look for a potential replacement for Austin Blythe. The next name is wide receiver Ja'Marr Chase, and this one is obviously not going to be a legitimate option for the Rams. Ja'Marr Chase should be gone within the top six picks, if not even earlier, but I got a chance to watch him, and he is an absolute monster, a yak weapon, so much strength. He can break tackles, create with the ball in his hands, strong set of hands, actively stretches out, can attack the football. Not exactly a burner in my opinion, but he has more than enough speed to stack guys vertically. Can eat up cushions well. He can win contested catches. Just a bully mentality. He has enough shuffle and agility in his game, in my opinion, to still be that kind of a shifty style weapon. Can play inside, outside. Tremendous tracker of the football. Just a bully at the line of scrimmage. This guy is going to be a special player in the NFL. He reminds me a lot of current Tennessee Titans wide receiver AJ Brown. I think they look very, very similar. And that is going to be my pro comp for Ja'Marr Chase. Moving on to the last two names, one of which may not be an option for the Rams, one of which they did interview and is definitely an option for the Rams. We'll start with the guy that may not be, and that is Elijah Moore, the wide receiver out of Ole Miss. It sounds like Moore may be a late first round pick at this point. He's gaining a lot of steam in terms of his draft projection. And oddly enough, my comp for him is Brandon Cooks. They look identical when running routes, man. When this guy is running a route and he snaps off of his stem to break back to the football on, let's say, a comeback style of route or a hook route, the way he throttles down in his route, the way he snaps his head, looks exactly like Brandon Cooks. I mean, it was a spitting image of the guy. This is a guy that can play in the slot or in the boundary, has enough athleticism to work that gadget style usage, probably going to be best as a slot receiver, tough as hell working over the middle, can stack receivers, can eat up cushions, fast as hell, very explosive, can take the top off of a defense, good at forcing missed tackles. He can be a nice yak weapon, does a good job at attacking leverage, and he's very deadly on double moves. So a guy that I think is probably going to end up going maybe in that late first, early second. Not going to be on the board for the Rams, I don't think. But at the end of the day, another very good wide receiver. And ultimately, having this many good wide receivers go early and all these other good players that maybe the Rams don't necessarily need is a good thing, because it's going to push down some of the prospects that they could very well want potentially into their range, or, you know, maybe close enough if they really want somebody to go trade up and not cost them an arm and a leg. Moving on to the last name here, and I talked about him as a player that met with the Rams recently, and that is Tutu Atwell, the wide receiver out of Louisville, and I'm intrigued by Atwell. Now, you know, he has plenty of question marks. I want to see more of his releases coming off the line of scrimmage. I mean, he almost never went against press coverage, so that's something he's going to have to work on a lot at the NFL level. He's absolutely tiny. I think he's like 5'8", 165 pounds. Probably can't play on the outside in the NFL. Probably not going to even be able to be a traditional wide receiver, lining up snap after snap, you know, playing that role as a traditional wide receiver. But if you're looking at a guy that has lined up inside and outside in college and has elite athleticism, explosiveness, and just game-breaking top-end speed, that is Atwell. This is a guy that can take the top off of a defense routinely. Cushions from cornerbacks, they don't even exist against Atwell. I mean, he's eating them up in a heartbeat. By the time you blink, he's already made up the gap between himself and a cornerback. Dangerous athlete who you want to scheme plays for. You're going to want to see some screens, some jet sweep action, gadget style of usage for a guy like this. He can obviously create yardage after the catch. And ironically enough, it's not going to be by breaking tackles. It's going to be by just completely eluding them and making guys look like fools in the open field. I think he can be a good kick returner. I think he can be a good punt returner. Now, I did mention some of the questions as well. The route tree, very limited. I don't know how many routes he can legitimately run right now. I'm curious, can he play through contact? We didn't really get to see all that much of that. Can he come off of the line cleanly? Can he beat press coverage? And can he improve his route running ability? Now, these are all questions to project him as a legitimate full-time receiver at the next level, not necessarily to limit him as a guy that could contribute. Because I think at the end of the day, if you just want to use him as a take it over the top style player, take the top off the defense, work vertical, some gadget style stuff, some jet sweeps, that kick return game, the punt return game, he can absolutely play a big role for you. But I don't know that he's going to be that Tyreek Hill style of receiver to develop into a top 10 guy. My comp for him is a little bit of a mix of guys, and Rams fans who have been Rams fans for a couple of years are going to know somebody here, and that is Tavon Austin. I said if you took a blender and poured a little bit of Tavon Austin in that blender, a little bit of J.J. Nelson, a former Arizona Cardinals vertical wide receiver, and Trindon Holliday, a guy who used to be a kick returner slash punt returner for the Denver Broncos many years ago when they won the Super Bowl, and blended that into a cup and poured it, that would be Tutu Atwell. All three of those guys kind of mixed up there. I think he's a little bit of all of those guys, and so it's going to be tough to see a 165-pound guy last in the NFL, but at the end of the day, we've seen it happen before. Atwell does have that all-world explosiveness and athleticism, and at the end of the day, that's what he's going to do best. He's not going to be a physical guy. He's not Julio Jones. He knows who he is, and if you want a guy that's going to bring more explosiveness to your offense, Tutu Atwell is absolutely one of the players that I think the Rams are probably going to look to potentially add, maybe in the day three range, maybe in that fourth, fifth, sixth round. I think we've got to keep our eyes open at all the possibilities, specifically at the wide receiver position. That is all we got for you guys on this episode of the Locked On Rams podcast. As always, I appreciate you guys for reaching the end of the episode here with me. And while we've got you, just go shoot over some questions to my Twitter. You can submit some questions for tomorrow's episode of the Fan Mail Friday edition of the pod. You can find me at QB's MEP, or you can find the page at Locked On Rams. Please subscribe or follow to get our latest episodes, content, breaking news, and a whole lot more.